It was the most breathtaking moment for me. It was liberating. It was healing.
Do whatever, see whatever, feel whatever, be whoever.
You can connect to people, and this is the magic which you can find.
Skirt Bad Bunny. That was the name of the Skirt Club event I recently attended with my friend Anna. It took place in a dungeon. We had no idea what to expect. We only knew that Skirt Club is an international network for bisexual women. From Amsterdam to London, from Washington to Berlin. They organize events such as sex parties, book readings, theme parties and workshops. Half-naked women with bunny ears, a burlesque dance performance, playing spin the bottle with other bad bunnies, and lots of making out and tying up. That was the mini skirt event. Hi, nice to have you back at Sex in Berlin. How does Skirt Club sound to you? After Bad Bunny, I was definitely interested in getting to know Skirt Club and the bisexual community better. That's why I invited Vanessa to the podcast, and she knows a lot about Skirt Club and bisexuality. We'll also hear what Lisa Opel from Hamburg has to say about Skirt Club. She's the author of erotic literature, a pleasure coach, and has known Skirt Club for several years. But first, let's get to know Vanessa. Vanessa, thank you for coming. It's so nice that you're here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we spent already an evening together.
I enjoyed it
totally. It was very nice. What's the idea of Skirt Club?
So the idea of Skirt Club was to create a space where women can come and feel comfortable and safe and explore their sexuality. Because I feel like when you go nowadays, there's a lot of parties or environments where it's a bit mixed, but it's kind of off balance per se. And so to have a place where you have just women, it's very empowering. It feels safe. It feels very comfortable. There's just another level of gentleness around it. And so then we have these women who maybe are bi-curious, maybe they're bisexual, maybe they're lesbian, whatever it is, and they never really felt comfortable. So now we've created a space that they can come and explore in a very nice manner and very kind and just supportive, really. And everyone that I've met that's been to any of these parties or is part of the community have always felt supported. And I think that's something that as women, we're just really good at, is supporting each other.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about yourself, that everyone who can't see you now has a little picture of who you are.
Absolutely. So my name is Vanessa. I'm from New York, and I've lived in London, Bangkok for a few years, and then I moved to Berlin. And then I kind of always gravitated towards the city since the moment I arrived. It was always a bit, it was less polished per se. You know, I love techno. I love the blasé attitude that it has and this level of freedom that you get in the city. And so then I also knew that I always had this interest in fetish and BDSM, but I never really felt comfortable or safe to kind of explore that in the other cities. And so then I decided, you know, I'll kind of dive into Berlin. Never really looked back, and it also didn't feel as judgmental and less taboo when it came to these topics in Berlin. So then, yeah, like the city, just this aura kind of sucked me in. And I've always craved connections, and the city and Skirt Club has always allowed me to explore it without limits.
What is the perfect introduction? So what is the perfect event of going for the first time to a Skirt Club?
I think when it comes to the perfect introduction, there's no perfect introduction, actually. I think it totally depends on the person and what they want to explore, who they are. That's the reason why we actually host different types of parties. So initially when we started, we only had signature parties where it's the full play party. And then you have, we started creating mini skirts where it's more so cocktail bar where you can mingle, but there's no place a part of it. That allows people to meet in a more social setting. And then if they want to, you know, continue on after, then that's totally their prerogative. And we encourage that as well. And so that's actually the first two types of party we started. And then over the last couple years, I noticed, you know, people connect in different ways. It's not just the play parties. It's not just over cocktails. Some people also, you know, don't like drinking, and that's totally fine. And so we were trying to tap into what are the different ways of connecting. So we created a karaoke party where when you're singing with someone, some heartbreak song, it's so cathartic and you naturally just bond with people that way. And then we started thinking, okay, what about the BDSM side of Berlin? So we started creating workshops. Workshops when we had a dominatrix, Lady Selena joined us and showed us how, you know, there's a whole workshop on bondage. There's a whole other one on spanking. And when you're being spanked or tied up with someone else, you're just, there's that gaze in their eyes where you're also bonding and connecting, which is, you know, very easy for other people to kind of connect versus other ways. And then we also had a dance party. You know, Berlin, we love dancing. We love our parties. We love techno parties. And so we decided to create our first dance and play party at Prisma in KitKat earlier this year. And that was just so much fun. We had so many people walk in being like, finally, a dance party. And so you can see people dancing amongst each other. And then they would go and join, you know, a play party after. But essentially, there's no perfect introduction. I think the best, there's always something that you can kind of join to see what works for you. And we've had people, members join, let's say a karaoke party, which was very just easy, simple. And then they joined the signature parties. And then they said that gradual confidence and that support and that security allowed them to really explore and feel safe. And so at the end of it, the introduction itself is making sure that they feel comfortable to explore, comfortable and safe in terms of the environment, the people around them, and also just for themselves. And so I think, yeah, there's no real perfect introduction. It's as long as they are comfortable, if that makes sense.
So for me, it was a very connecting evening. I had the feeling that it's pretty easy to talk to the other women and to get to know each other. They were very friendly and open. Was a very nice atmosphere. But what is it about sex? Like, some events are especially for sex. How do you start this normally?
We try not to put the focus on the sexual part. I think the main thing that we try to create is an environment for them to explore whatever that is. And so for when it comes to like the actual signature parties, usually we have the women arriving a certain time. They're given a crema or prosecco, whatever it is, and there's a bit of mingling, and then there's an intro where myself and the other organizer will give an introduction of the evening. We kind of say the ground rules, we hear there's a performer, sometimes we'll have a reading.
Tell me one of the ground rules.
So one of the ground rules definitely is no pictures. So no pictures, because we want everyone to feel safe to explore. And that's something that we take very seriously. And then the second one is consent. Consent all the way, because that is something, yes, it should be. Even if it's just women, like, we still say it, because you never know. And I understand sometimes when people get a bit nervous and they slightly disregard, you know, that moment of, or they're just nervous, but we've never had an issue in any way of this. So yeah, consent and no photography.
It's interesting. When you don't have men, no problem.
It makes such a difference. It makes such a difference.
No problem with violence anymore.
Yeah, and it's just like, I've had this comment made to me multiple times, women being like, yes, I've gone to play parties with men and women, and the moment you just do women, it's so different. It's so kind. It's so gentle. It feels safe. And there's so much laughing. So it's really, really nice.
Let's talk about laughing. Was there a funny story? Something which was really fun for everyone?
I think laughing during sex is the top tier intimacy. So you know, during these play parties, you'll just hear the cackling of everyone, and it's generally just really fun. I think maybe one particular one that was that comes to mind was, I think this was in the very beginning when I joined, and we had a dominatrix who was kind of showing something. They were just showing one of the acts. And there is this girl who is a volunteer, who's now a friend of mine. And she's this beautiful girl that I remember I gay panicked when I saw her. And she was basically lying down and she had gold dildo being inserted into her. And I could not have chosen the most worst time to introduce myself. I basically looked at her and I was like, "Hi, I'm Vanessa." And she's like, "Hey." And everyone just starts laughing. And the dominatrix was like, "Really? Right now?" I was like, I panicked. And we all just laughed and cackled. And like to this day, we still laugh about it. But it was something that happened in that very moment where, you know, it could have been a bit awkward, but women are just so supportive and fun and easygoing. And everyone understands when you just have these moments where it just kind of happens. And that particular memory just burnt itself in my brain.
So you gave her the handshake.
Nearly gave a handshake. I think I was going for the hand. I was like, her hands are currently tied up.
You told me in the beginning, Vanessa, that you lived in different countries, different big cities, and the whole Skirt Club is a big international network. So I think this is one of the main, a very good assets also of your network, that you can find someone in Washington or in LA or in Paris. So how do you work on this international level?
I think it's just amazing. It's incredible how the community has grown. And I just got goosebumps from it, just thinking about it, because it's a community that's just now global. I think we're like 40,000 members around the world. And I've heard stories, and it's even happened to me, where I've gone to a different city and someone's like, "Oh, you're Vanessa from Skirt Club. Like, I went to this party." There are people just traveling around the world who are using, you know, Skirt Club as also part of their pit stop. I think it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to create a community so globally, but yet feel also small. It also feels like a village to a degree. Like, I was in Cologne for Pride this past weekend, and I was at one of the parties, and suddenly this girl gave me this look, and she came up to me, and she's like, "Vanessa, Skirt Club, Berlin." I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, how's it going?" She's like, "I'm here with a bunch of the other ladies," and they're all there, and it's just really nice to see how many people have become friends from this. It's not just a community where they can come and do a play party, but they really have connected with each other from a friendship level. Some have also become, you know, more intimate, and some actually have gotten married through this whole community. And yeah, it's really nice to see how we've grown it to such a way where people are traveling the world for it, connecting in different ways, whether it's friendship or getting into relationships. And yeah, we're very proud to be part of that.
Lisa Opel told me about her first experience at Skirt Club, and this story definitely sounds like paradise.
Let me tell you about my first time at Skirt Club. I'm not going to lie, I was extremely nervous, and I'm not talking about actually going to the party. I'm talking about the minute I bought my ticket. But I did it, and you'll find out at the end of this story how happy I was about it. The second I'd bought my ticket, I'd seen that it was a motto party. And so signature parties, they have a specific motto, which inspires you to choose an outfit. Now, I love choosing outfits. Some people aren't so inclined. The motto was red light for my first party, and it was rather simple. I chose a long red cocktail dress, and I had a red body underneath. Some high heels, but I lost them rather quickly because they were too uncomfortable. And actually going over to the event was already rather nerve-wracking for me because I had no idea what to expect. And I had no idea where the evening was going to end. But when I arrived, I was greeted so warmly, so kindly, so lovingly. I got changed. It was a very, very cold day and they had great changing areas. I could put all my bags and everything. And I was led through a beautiful, beautiful villa. And since then, I've been to quite a few places. And I have to say, the locations are always thrilling. And I went straight to the bar. Bit of Dutch courage. It did the trick. All the cocktails were lovingly named. They all had names according to the motto and lots of the cocktails were red. So of course I chose something with cranberry. And I was already blown away. There were already quite a few ladies there and they were all in red and all sorts. There was underwear, there were long dresses, there were all sorts of different directions it had taken. Some had leather belts and all sorts of chains and things. It was each person had truly and authentically come as themselves, but wearing something red. So I felt very, very comfortable. And I instantly struck up all sorts of wonderful conversations. The hostesses helped us. They initiated for us and they asked us if everything was okay. I think I looked rather nervous at many points during the evening and they came over to me and they asked if I was okay. And within the first 20 minutes of all the ladies arriving, I'd already started chatting to women from Holland, from America, from Belgium, from Germany, of course. And it was so diverse. I will be 40 this year and I was talking to 23-year-olds. I was talking to 51-year-olds. It was an absolute potpourri of incredible women. And we were all nervous. I think we can safely say we were all nervous. And there were a lot of women that were there for the very, very first time and they were on their own. But before we had any time to think about how nervous we were, the party was already getting started. And by party getting started, I don't mean all the women were falling over each other. No, there was entertainment. And first of all, there was a reading. It was 10 to 15 minutes long. And I remember vividly, it was absolutely stunning. It was about being a woman. It was about being a woman around women and being bisexual. And that was swiftly followed by the most incredible burlesque performance. And I think that was the moment where all women in the room lost most of their inhibitions, me included, because it was magical and it was energetical and the whole room, we were all cheering, we were all clapping. It was absolutely amazing. And after that, it didn't stop. We had Truth or Dare, initiated by the hostesses. We had Spin the Bottle, which I think I'd played the last time when I was 14, maybe. But it was buzzing. It was exciting. And they told us again, yes is yes, no is no. There was very open conversation between the hostesses and us as guests. And any qualms I had were quickly pushed under the rug because they said, if you don't feel comfortable, please say so. And it created such a safe and brave space that I knew I can say yes, I can say no. And that was very empowering for me after having had all sorts of experiences in my life. It gave me so much power to just be free and explore. And let's just say what happened next, I didn't expect. I saw a woman and it zapped instantly, but I was too shy and she was too shy. And this endured the entire evening until right at the end, just before everything was closing and finishing up and all the ladies were getting dressed again. And then we kissed and it was the most breathtaking moment for me. It was liberating. It was healing. And we didn't actually get to know each other until afterwards. But that moment for me is one that I will remember forever. And that was almost 2 years ago. And the evening, it was just this whole ball of feeling good about myself, feeling empowered, feeling beautiful, feeling strong, feeling sexy, sensual. And it ended with us leaving. It ended with the hostesses asking if we needed anything, how we were getting home, if we had any questions, if we had anything we wanted to talk about. But honestly, I went home with my heart just so, so full and basically wanting to book my ticket for the next signature party with Skirt Club.
So connection is one part, then you have the network, you have an international network, friendship, you told us. What is the real special thing that most of you are bisexual? Normally, I know a lot of lesbian women, mm-hmm. and I know lots of queer bars here around, but mm-hmm. like bisexual is not such a big thing normally.
Yeah.
I don't see it so much in a way. Yeah. What is the special thing about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, a huge part also of why I joined. Growing up, I never really understood, you know, why there was such a huge division, like why bisexuals were, you know, shafted from the lesbians, but then they also, I just couldn't find my place. And when I joined Skirt Club, or even before when I was researching about it, it just felt so inclusive, and it felt like I had a place in the world to a degree. And I mean, Skirt Club, we invite, if you are lesbian or bi, curious or any of that, yes, there is, I think, maybe a bit more focus on the bisexual side. And it just made me feel seen, I guess. It made me feel like I was part of something that I was searching for so long. And I never found it in New York City or LA or London or Paris. Like, I just kind of, for the first time, I just really felt like I fit in somewhere. And it was this piece I was missing in the puzzle for so long. And so to have so many women come and say, hey, you know, I wasn't sure about myself, but now I get it. Like, I am more bisexual than I thought, or I'm this or that. And so it's really, really nice. I actually had a friend of mine who recently told me, because she joined the parties, I think, last year. And she said, she was like, yeah, I never was comfortable with my sexuality. I wasn't really sure if I was bi, but like meeting you, you made me realize it doesn't have to be 50-50. Like, you're so comfortable and confident who you are. It actually made me feel a lot more comfortable in my skin, in terms of my sexuality. So I think from a bisexual standpoint, sorry, this is a long-winded answer because I'm also trying to figure it out, but the community has just made me feel happy and grateful to have found, you know, a space that I can explore. There doesn't really have, you don't really need a label. And yeah, I'm just very grateful for that community to where they've just, I feel so loved.
I have to say, Lustre has been an amazing discovery for me. The Real Couple amateur porn streaming platform has so much bi content to explore. With their easy-to-use filters and tags, I've been able to find exactly what I'm in the mood for. I've come across so many hot couples where either one or both partners are bisexual, which is incredible, refreshing. I've enjoyed watching some serious hot group sex scenes and then diving deeper into their blog with articles like How to Be Bisexual in a Straight Relationship. And the fun doesn't stop there. Lustre also offers audio erotica, and I couldn't resist checking it out on Spotify. You have to listen to the episode The Time I Was Picked Up by a Stranger for Foursome. It's unbelievable hot. I'll drop the link in the show notes so you can listen to. Plus, you get 50% discount via our exclusive link. Don't miss the great Lustre offer.
Why is it easier? For me, it's in a way easier to think, oh, they are straight, they are gay. It's a little easier. And when someone tells me they are bi, and then I came to your event, and it was so important for me to really see that it's a sexual orientation and it has any right to be there as anything else.
Yeah.
And it's so strange that it's easier to say, okay, he's gay or she's a lesbian and they are not. But to have these strange constructions around, I felt very ashamed in a way when I realized that I also thought in these categories. And then I thought, okay, they do not look like lesbians.
Yeah.
And then I thought, what did I expect? What's the thing they should look like for me? It was so strange.
I think it's the social construct. I think, you know, growing up, and it's changed a lot now recently, but I think growing up, there was this stereotype. And I was also part of this, where I stereotype, okay, lesbians are these butch lesbians, they look a certain way, or the gays look a certain way, lesbians have to be this, blah, blah, blah. And then I think the bisexual kind of scale was a bit, didn't know what to do. I think the scale was just broken, really. And I think this is also the reason why I was so happy to be part of this, because when I went to these parties, I realized, oh, you can be very femme gay, and you could also be femme bisexual. You could also be an androgynous bisexual, or you can be a lesbian who looks, you know, it doesn't matter. And there's just this level of freedom when you walk in, just like you said, you go to these parties and all the stereotypes are thrown out the window. Out the window, burnt. And you can come in and do whatever, see whatever, feel whatever, be whoever. And I think there's a lot, you know, of these stereotypes that unfortunately we had growing up. And I think that's why, you know, it's really important nowadays to change that. And whenever someone says, you know, oh, but I didn't think you were a lesbian, like you're so much more femme, I'm like, well, shock, hello. There are other people, there are like 7 billion people in the world. And I think that's also the beauty. Like maybe one day I'm feeling a bit more femme and I'm wearing my dresses and all my heels and stuff. Other days I look like an absolute scrub with like, you know, baggy jeans and whatever it is. And that's also that's also just part of being human. Like you don't have to be bisexual to kind of go through this. I think it's just really nice to have a place like Skirt Club where there's no limit and there's no judgment whatsoever. And maybe some parties will see someone that walks in and they're a lot more femme, and then other parties they're coming in a bit more tomboy, and that's totally okay. And we're always open to these conversations. Everyone's so open-minded, and I think that's why people feel safe kind of exploring that, whatever their journey is, really. And I know I've definitely gone through my phases, and it's just difficult. When you're bisexual, your brain hurts. I remember being in high school and I just thought, is this a phase? I'm like, why do I fancy this boy? But then I also fancy this girl. And it's awful. I wish people could understand how difficult that was. And I had such a hard time because I felt like I was also in denial. And then it wasn't until university that I felt a lot more comfortable. And then I opened up to my closest friends and they were like, okay, you're bi, so that doesn't change the way we love you. And then from there, bit by bit, I felt more confident. But at that time, there was no representation. There wasn't a lot in the media. And growing up in North America, they're so limited. And that's why I'm so grateful now we have people in like music from like Fletcher to Hayley Kiyoko to Cara Delevingne. There are so many more bisexual or lesbians. And it's really nice. I went to a party this year in London, and it was called Girl Events. And there was just so many who were in their like early 20s, probably young as like 18. And they were so happy to explore. It was just a female only party, just like a club. And I went up to the owner who I know, or one of the co-founders, and I was like, you've done such a great job. Like to have this in London, you're giving them a space to explore, to feel safe, to feel comfortable. And I was so happy for them. Like I had wished I had that growing up, but I didn't. And so, yeah, it's really nice. But yeah, it's just, I guess, it's part of life.
Do you think sometimes that how we look on bisexual women. We make this bi thing smaller as it is. Like, yeah, yeah, it's not such a big problem. When a man is also interested in men, but with a woman, it's more like, yeah, yeah, she can play around a little. It's not so serious taken in a way.
Yeah. Bisexuality always had like a bad reputation, right? It's like, oh, you like boys and girls, therefore you're super greedy. How dare you? It always had such a bad reputation. I remember also growing up, and whenever I heard someone was bisexual, they're like, oh, they're greedy, they just can't decide, they're going through a phase and all that stuff. And at the time, I remember not being confident enough because I also wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if that was the case. And yeah, so there's, I think now it's a lot more accepted. I still think we have a lot more to do, but I think the generations are becoming more open-minded and realizing, actually, no, it's everyone's on the scale. You can be 70-30, 60-40, 50-50, 90-10, it doesn't matter. I think what there's a lot of emphasis in now is the connection. And I think people are seeing that more, not from media, not just media, but like authors and professors or their own friends. And every time someone's asked me, you know, do you gravitate towards men or women? I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the person that I connect to. And that's the whole beauty of it, because you never know. I feel like it's Russian roulette. But it's something that I think, yes, it was, I think, a lot smaller before. It didn't seem like such a big deal. But then now I think people are realizing it's a lot more than we expected. And I think people are becoming also more empathetic and compassionate, because even my friends, when they saw me struggle, you know, understanding my feelings or my emotions, they could really see the inner turmoil, because we become so hard on ourselves. And we're like, why can't you just figure it out? Why can't it just be black and white? Oh, I like men because I'm gay, or I only like women because I'm lesbian. I wish it was that simple, but it's really difficult. And we have these moments where it's just very draining and discouraging and disheartening. But we just have to learn to be more kind to ourselves, which is what I'm learning to do.
And to others also.
And to others as well, exactly.
And it's also a binary thinking that you have to decide, women or men. It's also like there are only these two options.
Yeah.
And I think it's so nice for everyone to see that there's a scale.
Yeah.
And that you can connect to people. And this is the magic which you can find in a way. And this is the wonderful thing you can learn from all the bisexual people.
Yeah, it's just exactly that. It's so beautiful to know, you know, you can have a connection with someone and you didn't expect it to, and there's no limit. And I think giving that grace and that kindness to yourself and to other people while they're trying to figure this out is one of the most beautiful things you could do to yourself and to others. You know, I described it as disheartening and scary and all this stuff, and really sad at the beginning, but really it is also fun and exciting and magical, and there's these beautiful moments, these aha moments where you have, which I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I just kissed a gay guy last weekend, and he asked me if he
did
could
you like
kiss
it?
Yeah, and I said, Bruno, are you sure? And he said, come on, you think I'm gay, so I don't want to kiss you. And I said, I don't know, you decide. And he said, let's kiss. And I was really okay. It was very nice.
It's actually, you're reminding me, because when I went to Cologne Pride, I ended up shagging a straight man. And I was joking with my friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am the worst bisexual. I went all the way to Pride, one of the biggest Pride parties, and I shagged a straight man of all days that I could have picked. And I just couldn't stop laughing. They were just like, you're just terrible. But I would have never expected that. But I had a connection with someone, and he was so lovely. He was so kind. He actually even admitted, he's like, I'm a bit intimidated by you because you are bisexual. But, you know, we talked it out and stuff like this. And I just, yeah, it's also fun for the stories.
Vanessa, what would you say? Is there a power of sex? Like, is there a power of when you know your sexuality, or you live it, or you connect to other people, that you gain a power and you can use it for, like, for more? Yeah, you have more energy in a way.
Yeah, I think definitely. There's this level of confidence that you gain, I think. You know, when you're confident in the bedroom, you're confident in the boardroom, I think is one of the sayings. And there is definitely this aura and there's confidence of self-esteem, self-worth that's all tied together that trickles not just from sex, but like into your other aspects of your life. So like work, I felt more confident in myself, you know, knowing what I wanted and what I needed. I was able to kind of express that at work. When it came to my relationships, I was a lot more confident as well in terms of like, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I bring to the table. When it came to my friendships as well. So I think you just kind of have this step in your walk and you feel a bit more confident. Yeah, I think from the sexual side. I don't know, I think about it and it's only one part of it, you know, the sexual side. I think it just, you understand yourself better. You understand yourself better. And I think when you understand yourself better, you know how to, you know why you think a certain way. You know why you behave a certain way. You're just a lot more gracious and kind to yourself of how you behave. But I think in terms of the power, yeah. With your sexual orientation or sex itself, whatever it is, you definitely have this new level of confidence. I always try to channel Rihanna. Like, that's how I see it. Like, whenever it comes to any of these parties or, like, walking into a board meeting and I have to present to my, like, execs, I'm just like, what would Rihanna do? And Rihanna is just the most, is just a powerhouse. She's sexy. She's smart. She's confident. She knows her self-worth. She's also very kind and nice and completely respectful. Like, she's just unreal. So it's like that. If I could, like, say what's, how does someone use their sexuality and power? I just think of Rihanna, an absolute powerhouse. What a babe. To me, like, this has been one of the best decisions I've ever made, because every party we've ever done, there, we always get women who come to us in the beginning saying, I'm a bit nervous, I'm a bit shy, I don't know what to expect. And we always kind of assure them, you know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about anything. Like, one, we just want to make sure you're safe and comfortable. You don't have to do anything you don't want. It's basically your body, your choice, your rules. And by saying this, at the end of the night, I always end up seeing them again. They're like, oh my gosh, this has changed my life. Like, I feel so comfortable. I feel like I found a part of myself. I was unsure about this and that. And now I feel a lot more confident. And I feel like my self-esteem is regained. And I think when you hear this over and over again at parties, it is such a privilege to be part of that journey. So this is the confidence you can't just buy. This is the kind of confidence you gain step by step through going to these experiences that allows you to push yourself out of your comfort zone just bit by bit. So yeah, it's really, really nice to see that. And it's an absolute honor and privilege to be part of that journey of someone, multiple journeys, that they feel comfortable and safe to trust us to be part of that is really rewarding.
Skirt Club opens up an important space for bisexual women to try things out and to indulge in pleasure. Would you like to go to a Skirt Club event? On our way back home from the Bad Bunny dungeon, Anna and I talked a lot about our experience. Women-only spaces are rare and can have a very special power. Playing spin the bottle with a friend among other women in a BDSM cellar, feeling sexy without male gaze, and watching an impressive burlesque performance is perhaps all you need after a long week in a world full of patriarchal madness. That was Sex in Berlin. If you want to explore Berlin's sex-positive scene, then take a look at our website sin.berlin and try out the Sexomat. Are you vanilla or kinky? Are you in the mood for a party or a workshop today? Ask the Sexomat what suits you and where Berlin needs you. You can find all the information and links in the show notes. Send us love letters, feedback and requests via social media or at info@studio36.berlin. If you work in the sex-positive industry and anyway, please feel free to send us an email also. Yours, Nika. Sex in Berlin is a production of Studio 36, kindly supported by Lustry, your platform for real homemade porn. Host, Nike Wessel. Editor, Emily Gante, Maike Bolsinger. Post-production and sound design, Amadeus Lindemann.